could resume our meeting. I know that Director Armstrong needs to move on, so we're going to take the Doheny Ocean Desal project. But before then, I know the general manager had a quick comment, and then during the break, I was talking to Mr. Melendez, and he wanted to update us on an issue, too. So, go
thank
ahead,
you.
Joe.
Thank you, President Pauley. I wanted just to correct the record. Earlier this morning, Director Slauson asked me if Jennifer Pierre was, in fact, the speaker at a recent Riverside County Water Task Force. And my response was incorrect. I indicated to him that I didn't believe so. I just wanted to correct the record. It was Ms. Pierre who was the speaker. So, Director Slauson, you were absolutely correct. And the good news is I did just receive confirmation that she will be a guest speaker. She will be coming in and presenting on the Delta Conveyance Project at our next board meeting on August 17th. But to your point, Director Slauson, you were correct.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. I hope you've learned your lesson.
Very good.
Never question.
Appreciate that. And then, Matt, you mentioned to me that you actually had something you're going to share with us, so go ahead.
Yeah, actually, if you recall, we brought a contract to you a while ago to establish some contractors who could rehabilitate manholes for us. And just last week, we completed the first project as part of that contract and resumed our maintenance activities in the collection system for manholes. So there were five severely damaged manholes just south of the Paris Reclamation facility. The contractors did great being able to rebuild those and rehab them for us. And very soon here, we'll start on the next batch in San Jacinto and then moving into Temecula to really catch up on some of these things that we needed to do. So just wanted to share that we're back on track and maintaining our facilities in that regard. So thank you.
Very good. And again, I mean, one of the secrets, I think, of having a successful agency is keeping up with the maintenance and making sure that we don't fall behind as, for example, some in the city of Los Angeles may do. So with that, we will go to item B, which is Doheny Ocean Desalination Project Update. Good morning, Linnea. You are going to present this morning to us.
I am. Good morning again, President Pauley and members of the board. This morning, I am going to provide you with an update on the Doheny Ocean Desalination Project and the status of our staff coordination and tracking of this as a potential water supply. The Doheny Ocean Desalination Project is being implemented by the South Coast Water District. It's being implemented in phases, with the first phase being defined as a 5 MGD project. South Coast Water District, through their water reliability studies, has identified a need of 2 MGD to diversify their water supply portfolio, which leaves about 3 MGD of that initial phase available for potential partnerships. The ultimate capacity has been defined as 15 MGD, and the site that is planned for the facilities will accommodate that ultimate build-out of 15 MGD. The project is located in the city of Dana Point at an existing San Juan Creek property. The ocean desal reverse osmosis system will be fed with intakes that are proposed as slant wells that would be underneath the Doheny Beach. The raw water pipeline will be sized for the ultimate 15 MGD capacity, and they're proposing to utilize the existing San Juan Creek ocean outfall to mitigate issues with the brine disposal, where the brine would then be blended, diluted, and then discharged through that existing outfall. South Coast Water District is looking for partners. As I mentioned, they've identified a need of 2 MGD as to diversify their water supply portfolio, which does leave another 3 MGD available for that initial 5 MGD project, and also potentially 13 MGD at the ultimate build-out. The South Coast Water District Board authorized staff to develop a partnership marketing plan, and they had established a goal of securing partnerships by the fall of 2022. They've really looked at partnerships in two categories, local partnerships, and local meaning those local there in the South Orange County area. South Orange County is predominantly reliant on imported water for their potable water supplies. In fact, they rely on imported water for about 90% of their potable demands. They also are considered at the quote-unquote end of the pipeline where they have multiple crossings over faults, which also causes certain concerns or risks associated with system interruptions as well. And so there are a lot of benefits to South Coast agencies as they're considering potential partnerships in the project. But there are also regional partnerships that South Coast is engaging in discussions with. EMWD has had multiple meetings with staff. Other inland agencies have also expressed an interest that could take the form of some type of water or paper exchange. But we're also very interested in the potential water reliability benefit, or as Met refers to, the extraordinary supply benefit that would be associated with that type of exchange. Metropolitan themselves have also engaged in discussions with South Coast Water District, again, to understand the potential as a regional partner to provide an increase in regional water supply reliability. A little bit more on the South Orange County partnerships. This spring, the City of San Clemente City Council approved to enter into a letter of interest, or to provide a letter of interest, which defines a series of steps that their staff will take in conjunction with South Coast Water District. The first was defined as analyzing potential costs and impacts to their customers at different capacity scenarios, a 1 MGD, 2 MGD, and 3 MGD partnership. They've also agreed to conduct customer surveys to assess the level of interest or appetite, if you will, for paying a higher rate for increased reliability. And this is an activity that South Coast Water District has already conducted within their service area and had a very high level of support for an increase in rate associated with that additional water supply reliability. There's also additional aspects of the letter of interest. There's placeholders for costs and how those would be divided between South Coast Water District and potential partners, as well as still open discussion about what the legal structure would look like for that partnership, whether it would be a strict water supply and purchase agreement or whether it would be something more like a joint powers agreement. The draft letter of interest also identified a series of sequential commitments for potential partners. These likely would fall after the Coastal Commission hearing, which is currently scheduled for October 2022. And that first milestone would be the execution of a formal memorandum of understanding. And they want that in place prior to the issuance of an RFQ for a designed, build, operate, and maintain solicitation for potential qualified providers to, again, provide the full suite of design, build, operate, and maintain for the facility. At this first stage, the commitment would include a written agreement to share the technical, legal, and other advisory services in conducting the procurement. So that's, in essence, that first commitment milestone. The next commitment milestone would be when the team selects three qualified design, build, operate, maintain teams. And at this point, they would ask for further written agreement to share in the design, engineering, and other professional expenses associated with this, with the DBOM, or design, build, operate, maintain contractor, through the development of the guaranteed maximum price. Then ultimately, upon execution of the contract with the design, build, operate, and maintain contractor, this is when that final step of financial commitment is required, and there would be an amendment to that contract that binds all parties for the sharing of the financial costs. As we've looked at this as a potential water supply for EMWD, we have looked at both the water supply reliability benefits as well as other institutional and financial considerations. As I mentioned in the introduction, one of the things that's important to EMWD is to secure an additional water supply reliability component, because otherwise, as you'll see in the financial considerations, we would in essence be paying more for the same water. So it's really important for EMWD to be able to secure that extraordinary supply designation from Metropolitan. Metropolitan's teams are looking into this, as I mentioned. They're looking at the technical, the financial, and other type of agreement opportunities, both at Metropolitan and how local entities, Metropolitan agencies, could also be able to participate. We would also have to enter into a series of agreements that would include Metropolitan, Municipal Water District of Orange County as the Metropolitan member agency that currently supplies the wholesale supplier for South Orange County, then of course as well as South Coast Water District. So again, a lot of considerations with respect to the institutional that need to be continue to be evaluated as we assess this. And then we also want to understand how this the supply relates to other supplies that are available to us either locally or regionally. The timeline for Metropolitan's evaluations are not defined. However, it's likely not to occur prior to the Coastal Commission hearing, nor prior to when South Coast has really identified their goal for having MOUs in place. There's also the financial considerations and the comparison to the projected cost for the Doheny desal water compared to other local supplies that EMWD is currently advancing. So this slide shows a comparison of the Doheny desal project at that first phase of the 5 MGD compared to Metropolitan costs. Now, this slide was prepared probably about a year and a half ago, and you can see there's a very optimistic MET escalation showed at 3%. At this point, I would really recommend that we focus on the comparison at the mid and even the high range, knowing that the next 2 years we're seeing a 5% escalation and anticipating something similar in the future. So you can see there here on the dark blue line on the top, that is the project cost in terms of the unit cost. And you can see that it crosses over that MET high escalation rate at about 2046. The South Coast Water District also looked at some ways to distribute the financing of the project, not just to current ratepayers, but to future ratepayers as well. So that's factored into this cost model that they developed. And they also have assumed a 15-year $475 per acre foot LRP contribution from Metropolitan. So that is also reflected here in this blue line. And you can see when that 15-year ends with that kind of little stair-step jump, if you will, in about that 2041 time period. When we look at the Doheny desal costs compared to EMWD local supplies, we have several initiatives that we are currently advancing and are planned to advance. The two bottom most lines on this graph represent our Paris 2 desalter project that we just recently completed. That is also a project that we get LRP funding for. And again, you can kind of see that stair step when our LRP funding agreement expires in 25 years. The bottommost line on that is our ERRP Phase 1, or our SARCUP water banking project. The next two lines that represent EMWD local supplies are kind of that light blue and purple, which include our Paris North program as well as our purified water replenishment program. The two golden bars on top show the comparison to the Doheny project. The bottom golden line is actually the projection with the LRP funding that I mentioned that they've based their models on. The top line looks at it if the LRP funding is not secured. And you can see then again those lines merge once the LRP funding would be expired in 15 years, and you can also see with the stars where those cross that 5% estimated escalation for Metropolitan in that 2046 period. We are committed to continuing to evaluate this water supply option as Metropolitan completes their work and their studies on exactly what, if any, their participation might look like. We also are continuing to engage with South Coast Water District as the potential project and partnerships evolve to continue to look for opportunities for EMWD's participation. And we also, this is part of our one of the concepts that we've identified as we evaluate the joint agency water supply study that we're working on with Rancho Water, Western, and Elsinore. So with that, I'm happy to take any questions.
Very good. Excellent presentation, as usual. I know Director Armstrong had a couple questions. So, Director Armstrong, did you want to go first?
Thank you, President Pauly. I wanted to just first say thank you to staff for being so engaged in this process with South Coast for quite some time now, and just appreciate that effort, and also for bringing this item to the full board. Director Slauson and I heard this last week on the Operations and Engineering Committee, but I really think that the whole board needs to kind of hear this and make some decisions and give some direction. And so in the spirit of sports quotes from today, I'm going to give you one from the great one, Wayne Gretzky, who says, you don't play where the puck is, you play where the puck's going to be. And I think Eastern has done a tremendous job of being a leader in that respect, from our recycled water to our SARCAP to our pure water to our groundwater desalination, all of those things. And I think Ocean Desal and a participation in a project like this is sort of the next evolution of that, and it's in that vein. So to me, I really think that we should participate in this. And it's not about the cost, and it's not about the other projects that we're going to do. Those should all be done. It's not about getting off of Metropolitan, but we have, our demands are expected to double, you know, more or less here in the future. And we need to think about not only managing demand, but also finding new supply, and not just managing existing supply, but actually finding new supply. And that's what this does. This is a project that we have a potential to participate in. I can't even imagine another Ocean Desal project in the near future that we would have an opportunity like this. And so, to me, I guess what I would like to see is an opportunity for the full board to discuss this and give some direction one way or the another to the staff to either move forward and formalize some agreement with the appropriate off-ramps, where if we don't get the transfer agreements down, or we don't get the extraordinary supply designation made, there's some off-ramps for us. But I think we need to move with a sense of urgency and either bring this item back for an action item or, something so that we can take some action on it. So I think it's a great project. I think we've done a great job staying involved, and would like to see us participate. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Director Armstrong. Any other questions or comments? Director Slauson?
Yes, I agree with what the director just said. I guess, the cost seems exorbitant. However, we've always strived to have a diversified portfolio. And you look at if we had 1 million gallons a day, that's less than 1/100 of what we supply. So it's a small portion, and it would be a smaller portion as we continue to grow. And when you take those higher costs for that one element, if we were participating here, if we could get it so Met would recognize it and it benefited us, that cost is averaged out. So it's just a small portion. So I think we should continue working with them and pursuing it and seeing what comes of it, if it can be done.
But President Pauly, can I make a comment?
Of course.
I appreciate the feedback from Director Armstrong and Director Slauson, and I don't disagree with those comments. But perhaps just maybe a little bit more consideration for the board. The extraordinary supply designation that Linnea mentioned is truly key from my perspective in us considering whether we should participate or not, aside from the financial considerations. And the reason for that is, if we were to participate in this program, the water supply that we would wheel through MODOC, and MODOC would have that extraordinary supply designation, not necessarily South Coast, via Metropolitan, we would essentially have to participate at a higher cost than what is the current cost of supply for Metropolitan. So for us to truly realize any benefit, it's got to be drop-proof. It's got to be considered as a local water supply within our service area. Currently, as Elena mentioned, Metropolitan is looking at this project, and they have yet to decide if they're going to participate, meaning that there's been some indication that Metropolitan may want to actually purchase capacity in the Doheny Ocean Desal in lieu of LRP funding. And that's been something that I know Metropolitan's general manager has indicated on occasion is, in lieu of providing LRP, perhaps Metropolitan should own capacity and should essentially own the water. I'm not opposed to exploring this further with South Coast and MODOC and Metropolitan. I think the key, though, for any type of letter of interest that we may want to consider or this board may want to consider is to have a clear condition or a caveat in the letter of interest that Eastern would only advance this if we're able to secure that extraordinary supply designation. Otherwise, we would find ourselves in a position where essentially we're paying whether it's $1,800 or $2,400 an acre foot for the same water we get from Metropolitan, meaning water from Mills or Skinner. So to me, that has always been a key consideration. And if this board desires, I know Lynnae and I have talked about this, we can definitely inquire with South Coast if they're willing to consider a letter of interest with those caveats. And if that's the board's desire, staff is prepared to have those conversations.
Just so you know, we've had this discussion, and I agree with you. I mean, that would be an appropriate requirement on our part. Otherwise, we don't really have a benefit.
Appreciate that. Director Cronin, do you have comments on this?
Well, I agree with the way the discussion's going. I think it's important that we participate in something like this. My question was actually a technical question. So these slant wells that they're going to put in, you're still pumping ocean water. I mean, we're not getting any benefit of any, there's not going to be any groundwater down there. There's not going to be any better quality water below the ocean floor. It's just for environmental purposes.
It is right? For environmental purposes. And, you know, as you've probably followed, a lot of the desal plants have considered open intake. And the debate is always what type of critters or marine life gets sucked into the ocean intake. And so with the slant wells, you've got a natural barrier, you know, as you're pulling in through, you know, under the sand in essence. So yes, it is a what is considered a more environmentally friendly approach than the open intake that is often considered. Yes.
Okay. Director Recker, do you have any comments or questions on this informational item?
Yeah, I do. And I think it's important that we always look at potential sources of supply. I'm curious that even though this may not be direct ocean intake, do we have any sense of what the Coastal Commission is going to do? Because they're pretty far-reaching, and they're very. It's just very interesting. I would really hesitate to look at MET as an LRP project. I mean, we haven't dealt with LRP at MET for years, and that program is not sustainable, so I don't know what the future holds. And it's just, you know, I'm a little frustrated with MET in general, so it's interesting that they would talk about owning part of that supply, which I think in a way makes sense, but there's so many issues that need to be vetted at Metropolitan before we can get on track in any direction that's a real... It's a real challenge. So, you know, in any part of the presentation that talks about LRP, I think I'm very skeptical of. And I certainly agree with Joe that, you know, extraordinary supply needs to be an issue that we deal with sooner than later. But I'm certainly in favor of continuing to explore the possibility of Eastern being part of this program.
Director Recker, thank you for your comments. And just to respond to your inquiry about where the Coastal Commission may land on this. Obviously, no crystal ball, so you know nothing is for sure. But I do feel like over the years that the Doheny Project has taken a lot of steps to try to mitigate some of the issues. One of the key factors again is the water reliability aspect of this for South Orange County, which is very different from some of the reliability considerations for some of the other big desal projects that have not been successful in getting through Coastal Commission, coupled with some of the environmental considerations that they've also done. So again, no crystal ball, but I think there is a lot of optimism based on the steps that Doheny has taken or South Coast Water District has taken over the years to mitigate some of those concerns.
So I just want to weigh in a little here. Thank you. Great presentation. The two comments I am continuing to receive from the public right now as they see the media on, as we talked about, the Lake Mead drying up, the bodies they find there, the boats that are being, you know, people are aware that we're having some issues on the Colorado River. I think more aware than they have ever been because of the visuals on this. And the two comments I get is, why aren't we doing ocean desal and why aren't we building a pipeline to the Mississippi? That is what the general public thinks in these situations. So I think we as an agency, or we as on our ad hoc group with the four other Southwest Riverside County water agencies, need to take a serious look at this. I do understand the devil is in the details, and Joe's very good at bringing the details to us. But I agree with Director Armstrong. I think at some point we need to have something before this board or as an option for the four agencies, and I think we're meeting in 2 months or...
Actually, we have our next meeting scheduled in about 2 weeks.
Okay, 2 weeks. It was 2 weeks, 2 months. I do want to have a serious discussion on this, and at some point I would support taking some sort of action to participate, given the caveat of what Joe said, either through this agency or having the other opportunities of the other agencies to join in somehow. But I think this is an opportunity that the public is going to demand that their local water providers understand these are extraordinary times and we probably need to take some extraordinary steps to do this. So I'll leave it at that for now, but thank you for the presentation. I look forward to continuing this discussion.
Thank you.
Thank you, President Pauly, and we really appreciate the board's feedback on this topic, and we will go back and make those inquiries with South Coast as discussed, but I think this has been a very valuable conversation with the board this morning. Yeah. Thank you.
On a note, I just saw our finance team walk out the door here, but at some point if we go forward on this, our finance team is going to be involved because there is a cost to finding these new water sources. So yeah. I will look forward to that. With that, we will go to we have receive and file items. I will make the motion for the receive and file items, item 5 on the agenda. Director Corona, would you like to second that? May I get a roll call vote, please?
Director Pauly?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
I think Director Armstrong has dropped off, so that passes 4-0 with Director Armstrong absent. That will bring us to our calendar review. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning, Director Pauly and members of the board. I have 5 events for your consideration this morning. It was starting off with the Marietta Wildomar Chamber of Commerce Award celebration is September 10th from 6 to 10. Also is the BIA's annual biz show is going to be taking place at the Anaheim Convention Center, and that is Wednesday, September 14th through Thursday, September 15th. The County of Riverside has their State of the District Address, which is going to be the morning of Thursday, September 15th in Temecula. And then on Friday, September 16th, is the annual Orange County Water Summit. And lastly is the Aqua Fall Conference. The registration for the conference opens up next Tuesday, August 9th. So please let me know if you're planning to attend. Registration does kind of fill up quickly. That event actually takes place, though, November 29th through December 1st. So,
if you could tentatively put me on all of those, that would be
certainly
fantastic.
All right. Will do. So all the September events I listed are in your calendar review packet. Mm-hmm. So on page 2 is the board members' master calendar for the next upcoming 2 weeks. Please make sure to review this information and let me know if you have any changes or add-ons. On page 3 is the upcoming conference events and participants. Next Friday, August 12th, is the BIA Southern California Water Conference. And then on the morning of August 18th at 7:30 in the morning is the Southwest Regional Economic Summit in Temecula, followed by at 11 o'clock in the morning is the City of Moreno Valley State of the City Address. So, and then Wednesday, August 24th through Friday, August 26th is the Urban Water Institute's annual conference that is located in Mission Bay in San Diego. And Friday, August 26th is the Riverside County Water Task Force virtual series, and the discussion topic is the California drought. So followed by the last one is going to be August 31st, the Murrieta Wildomar Chamber of Commerce City Address. And then we also, I'm sorry, have the Western Science Center Science Under the Stars, which falls on September 10th, the same time as the award celebration for Murrieta. So continuing on page 3 is the board meetings and board committee meetings. Please note for the month of September, the board executive committee, normally scheduled September 15th, has now been changed to Wednesday, September 28th, starting at the same time of 7:30 in the morning. So at the top of page 4 is the remainder of the board committee meetings through October, which are currently on schedule, along with the interagency meetings through October, which are also currently on schedule. So, and lastly, the EMWD's offices will be closed on Monday, September 5th, in observance of Labor Day. So, are there any questions regarding the calendar review?
Have none. That is a lot of good information. Thank you so much.
Not a problem.
We will then move on to our board director's attendance reports. Director Armstrong is not with us currently, so we'll go to Director Corona.
Okay, I did not attend the Rancho California Water District meeting. Monthly meeting with the general manager was good the other day. And yesterday we had the EMWD Rancho Water District meeting where we got an update from Joe and from Rob Grantham. So that's all I have.
Very good. I was not able to attend the IE Works board meeting. I also, unfortunately, was not able to attend the meeting with Secretary Crowfoot. I was scheduled to attend it, and then it got rescheduled, and that bumped up against a prior commitment. I was able to attend the Valleywide Recreation Park District out at the new park in the Winchester area. Kudos to our staff, Alan and Alma, were out there at the water van. It was well attended and got a lot of interest. I mean, I really love those community events. That water van, in my opinion, is just paying dividends. It attracts people. They come over. We had great discussions about landscaping and just saving water. So, again, I think that is I cannot thank Alan enough for coming up with that idea and the dividends that it just attracts people and we get to have good discussions. WRCOG, as far as water-related, a good meeting, but if water-related, Western has a new brochure out with California Friendly Landscape that Director Dunstett was able to share with us, and quite similar to what we're doing here with Eastern. They did a printed thing. I think we have it on our website, so all good information there. It's my report. Director Record, you had some meetings both at MET and EMWD.
So July 26th, standing committee meetings, that was put off because I'm not sure exactly why. We're going to pay a price for that because now our meetings are doubled in August. So at any rate, there was no meeting on July 26th. And I did, you know, we had a discussion about in preparation for the meeting with Secretary Crowfoot. I thought that was that was good, and it sounded like, even though President Pauley wasn't there, it sounded like the meeting went well. And yesterday, the EMWD and Rancho meeting was a good meeting, and I'm pleased that it seems like we have a good partnership going there.
Thank you, Director Eckert. Again, thank you for helping facilitate our guest this morning on the Colorado River. I really think that was one of the better presentations I've seen from Matt here in my time. So thank you for helping with that. Director Slauson.
Yes, I missed our last meeting, so I have a couple additional reporting comments to make. I attended the monthly meeting with the general manager where he discussed extraordinary water needed for the desalination project, discussed the, among other things, attended the Jamil Dada Character Excellence Youth Awards. This is a part of the Youth Opportunity Program set up, and it was well attended. Council members from Moreno Valley were there, talked to Juan Perez, Kenny Clark, who is with the Green Bay Packers. I looked him up. I think he has a $60 million three-year contract. And he died. He really wanted a picture with me, so I allowed him to do that. And two of the recipients of these scholarships were, one was, I guess her nickname is J.J. McCorley, and Kane Sperlin, who both are working here and really appreciated, you know, having the opportunity here, and said it was a really great work environment. They really enjoyed it. So that was nice. The SAPA on July 19th did a lot of things. They approved agreements for the turf removal project we're doing jointly with the City of Riverside, approved a task order for the weather modification program, and our fee for that, our participation is going to be $28,100. That's a per agency fee. And there was another one I wanted to add. Oh, the Arundo removal that we're have an agreement with the Inland Empire Resource Conservation, so we approved that. Attended the joint meeting with Western and discussed water supply and just all things of common interest between Eastern and Western. Attended the Wake Up. Joe Mawad did the presentation, the Wake Up Moreno Valley on July 27th. And we did. He did an excellent job, great presentation, very thorough, and there were a lot of questions going back and forth, so we sponsored that breakfast. And then that evening, he did an expanded version of that presentation with the Director's Advisory Committee, and that was well-received as well. Also, yesterday I attended the SAPA PA 24 meeting. We approved a Brine Line master plan solicitation of proposals and discuss the reasons why we needed that. So that's it.
Thank you very much. We will move on to director's comments and future agenda items. Does anybody have a comment or future agenda item?
I have a question. Mm-hmm. Director Record knows the answer to this. I was just wondering when they're going to start the Solar Cup again. Are they talking?
I don't know the answer. That's a good question. I'll find out.
Okay. I love that event, so I think it's great.
Very good. Director Record, any closing comments before moving into closed session?
No, thank you.
Very good. I just have a quick one, and it goes about what we've already talked about today. I hopefully will be able to continue on here for another 4 years. That's my plan. But I want to, in the next 4 years, really work on finding for Southwest Riverside County new supplies of water. I am very concerned with what I'm seeing on the Colorado River, and very concerned when I hear that Los Angeles and other areas are starting to talk about don't water your lawn, don't continue with green belts, et cetera, et cetera. So I just want to, I really enjoyed the discussion today, both on the Colorado River and what we're doing for new water supplies, both our agencies and the fact that we have this working group with the four other agencies. And I really want to work on that going forward, because I think it's something that needs to be done. So with that, Mr. Legal Counsel, I understand we have a need for closed session today.
That's correct, Mr. Chair. Pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, we have one item on potential litigation.
Very good. Madam Secretary, are we going to go over to closed session? So
yes.
Just hang loose here for a second?
Yes.
Very good.
Is that the Exeter pipeline? Remember we had that?
No.
Okay. Understand we are back into open session. May I get a report out of closed session by legal counsel?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much. The board met pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9 to discuss one item of potential litigation. A discussion was had by the board and instruction was given to staff. That concludes my closed session report.
Very good. With that, we'll stand adjourned until Wednesday, August 17th at 9 a.m. Thank you all.
Thank you.